Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Most of you know just a few verses out of it and a principle that God laid on my heart to share. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 18 this morning. And this is a beautiful picture here of the sacrificial love of a mom, of a mother. And growing up, I guess I took my mother for granted until I got married. When I got sick, my mother would minister to me. My mother sat next to my bed, and she gave me a drink, put a washcloth on my head. She did all these things that moms do. Now, we assume the wives aren't, that's not the thing that wives are supposed to do. When you get old enough, my wife got to work the next day, or she's got to take care of the kids. She can't have that stomach virus that you have. Amen? So those are those things that mom have a special place for with their children. They're able to do those things for their children. Yes, wives can do that too, but there's something about the love of a mother. I think scripturally we see the picture, and the first picture that a child ever gets of Jesus is by the mother. I think that's the first, that sacrificial love, that connection, long before us guys, you know, as men, right? It's kind of hard for us with the infant time and all of that, but man, the moms, God has gifted them. Amen? And we are going to see this morning the real picture of the sacrificial nature and love that we see in a mom. And I hope it encourages you ladies to understand that all of this ministry that you do for your families, it's not in vain. You are able to be a reflection of God's glory. You're able to be a reflection of God's creative purpose. The very lives that we live, is Scripture says, we have been created to glorify God. So whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. So this morning, if you're living that in your families, I know I talked to so many stay-at-home moms or moms that only work part-time or even moms that work full-time that say, I feel so guilty about having to work. You know, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. And I want to encourage each of you, wherever God has you today, to embrace the plan that God has, the sacrifices that you're having to make, in whatever sense that means to you. Embrace His perfect purpose, His plan, realizing it is within that plan that you're able to glorify Him, the created purpose. And I hope today you found Ruth chapter 1. Again, we'll look at verses 1 through 18. And if you're able physically this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. During the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land. A man left Bethlehem and Judah with his wife, his two sons, to live in the land of Moab for a while. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the land of Moab and settled there. Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and she was left with her two sons. Her sons took Moabite wives. One's name was Orpah, and the other's name was Ruth. After they had lived in Moab about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two children and without her husband. She and her daughters-in-law prepared to leave the land of Moab because she had heard in Moab that the Lord had paid attention to his people's needs by providing them food. She left the place where she had been living, accompanied by her two daughters-in-law, and traveled along the road leading back to the land of Judah. She said to them, "Each of you go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show faithful love to you as you have shown to the dead and to me. May the Lord enable each of you to find security in the house of your new husband." She kissed them, and they wept loudly. "No," they said to her, "we will go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. Go on, for I am too old to have another husband. And even if I were, if there was still hope for me to have a husband tonight to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from remarrying? No, my daughters, my life is much too bitter for you to share because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Follow your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Do not persuade me to leave you or to go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Yahweh punish me and do so severely if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to persuade her. Father, thank you, God, for this beautiful picture, Lord, of the love of a mother, the compassion of a mother, but God, also your perfect purpose, plan, and will being lived out and demonstrated to us. God, thank you that you are so faithful. This morning, I thank you, God, that we don't have to wonder and worry about, as followers of Christ, where we're going to go, what we're going to do, how we're going to handle the storms of life, the battles, the struggles, the hurts, and all of the other things that we will confront. But God, I thank you this very morning. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hide me behind the cross, Father, so that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, might speak to our hearts, affirm Scripture, convict us, challenge us, encourage us to greater growth, a more faithful commitment, as day by day, step by step, we grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And prepare us, Father, today for that time we will stand before you to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." And we ask this all in the name above all names, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who made this all possible. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we see this, it's really a powerful story of Naomi. You see this grief she's bearing at this moment. Honestly, you feel like, in a sense, as she said, God's hand has turned against me. This despair that you can rightfully recognize that she would feel, you know, what? And it's one of those battles we struggle with. God, what have I done? And I really love the fact that God doesn't do anything or allow anything to happen that doesn't have a greater purpose, a reason. And even though this is a picture of an Old Testament story, we know that in the application of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. That is, transcends Scripture, it transcends time. God works all things together for good. And that is nonetheless the picture of what's happening in this story. These two daughter-in-laws who at first both are committed. Go back to your homes, go back to your gods, your people. No, I'm not going to do that. And then listen to verse 8 and 9 again. She says, just go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show faithful love to you as you have shown to the dead and to me. May the Lord enable each of you to find security in the house of your new husband. She kissed them, then they wept loudly. I want to share three characteristics of a godly wife as I prayed. God, I want to encourage our mothers. I want to challenge them. Lord, what would be a great encouragement to, and even if nothing else, the encouragement of understanding what these three small things can help encourage our moms in knowing what a godly wife, a godly mother is. And the first one I want to share with you this morning is this. A mother to model is not self-serving. Imagine a self-serving mother. Now, sadly, I know in a crowd this size, there is at least one, if not a few of you, who've had a mother that was self-serving. What I say by that is, you had a mother that had their best interest in mind and in heart before yours. I have seen horrific stories of self-serving mothers that demonstrated everything that should not be done. The demonstration of everything that is not loving, is not godly, is not holy, and is everything to avoid being. I know that. And for you, I know I've said this to you individually. I'm sorry for that, that your mom was not what God created your mom to be. And each one of them, I've prayed that God would place someone in their lives that would enable them to see that reflection of what a godly mother should be. And I'm so thankful in so many of those situations, God has been, he's been very faithful. But for those of you who had a godly mother, you recognize this, that real, true God after the Lord's own heart is a mother that is not self-serving. That's the mother that is always going to put your needs, the family's needs, before her own. That's not easy. There is one characteristic of the human condition that we will all agree on. We are selfish. Amen? Is there anybody in here that goes, no, I never battle being selfish. I'd give the house and the farm and everything away no matter what all the time. Never would I ever struggle with being selfish in some small way. My hat would be off to you, as the old proverbial saying is, if so. But I think we're all of one heart in the fact that we all know that battle at times to be self-focused and self-centered, and really it's a continual work to try to battle that, to struggle against that, and to give of ourselves sacrificially. But moms have an innate gift, I believe, that God has given them. They want to give of themselves. I know one of the girls in our class right now, she's pregnant. Her son, a few years ago, I guess he's 3 or 4 now, you know, she said, you know, he didn't take much of a toll on my body, but this daughter she's getting ready to have in about 30 days has wrecked her body. You know, her iron, it's depleted her iron and taken all the iron and can't get the iron stores up in her body. And there's all these different things that's happened. But moms, think about the physical toll just carrying your child has taken on your bodies. I've heard many of you say, I'll tell you what, before I had kids, this, that, or the other. That's the physical toll before you've ever held that precious gift from God in your hands. I've never heard a mom say, you know what, I'd have never done it over again if I'd have seen what it did to my body. Some people wear their stretch marks from the child as they stretch out their stomach, and they wear those like badges of honor. You know, look what so-and-so did to my stomach. You see that as something you were able to offer, this precious gift that God has placed in your hands. The moment all these struggles, right, if you've known some that were sick for 9 months of pregnancy, what happens the moment they hold that baby in their hands? All of that is that old hymn, things of the earth grow strangely dim. All of those memories grow strangely dim. They slide into obscurity and meaningless. Why? Because look at this gift, this blessing that God has given us. And then what happens, mom? That bond, that maternal bond with her child. What a gift. Guys, we're not like that. Anybody in here say, oh no, my bond with my child was stronger than, yeah. God has specially gifted mothers with that incredible innate desire in them, that nurture, that everything that God's given them. I praise God for that. It is anything but self-serving. It is a sacrificial giving, that model of selfless serving. And we thank God for that. Naomi is the picture of what we see in this story right here, though. Think about how easily the selfish part of her. Many of us know selfish people. Imagine Naomi. Why is she going to move and go somewhere? Well, there's a place where we can get fed. I'll hang on to these girls and I'll make them work the field. They're going to be my food ticket, in a sense, to make sure that I have what I need. You owe it to your old mother-in-law. 10 years, at least, that they'd been together. But no, the selfless sacrifice, not self-serving, it's selfless. Go back to your families. Find another spouse. Be blessed, basically. What a picture Naomi is demonstrating of a selfless love of a mother, even after she has lost her own sons and her husband. Think of the grief that's compounded with Naomi at this point. As a matter of fact, how irrational do we get in grief? Amen? I don't know about y'all, I do. We all get that way. All of us can. Grief can make us do really crazy things. We've experienced this in the last month. Some of you even very recently. It can make you become despondent. It could make you even more so want to hold on to Orphan and Ruth. Why? Well, because remember, this is my talent, this is my sense, this is my connection with my boys. This is all I've got left. No, it wasn't about what she wanted. It wasn't about Naomi. She wasn't going to use the lives of her daughter-in-laws to achieve the security that every person wants to feel. No, she did the right thing and was giving them this release in a sense. Then listen to verses 10 through 15 again. No, they said to her, we'll go with you to your people. But Naomi replied, return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters, go on, for I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me to have a husband tonight and to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from remarrying? No, my daughters, my life is much too bitter for you to share because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law's gone back to her people and to her God. Follow your sister-in-law. Leads to the second thing that I want to share with you this morning. It's number two, a mother to model wants the best for others. It's really profound when you see this picture right here of Naomi again. You can see the depth, in a sense, of her grief. Go on, I am too old to have another husband, even if there was hope tonight. Would you be willing to wait? No, my life is much too bitter for you to share. She even sees the danger, in a sense, of her own bitterness and how it could impact Orpah and Ruth. How many times would someone take that bitterness all the more as a reason to hold on and to cling to someone, in a sense, if nothing else, is to have them as your outlet? Don't leave your old mother-in-law now. I need you more than ever. All these reasons we could do that, but look at this picture. A mother to model is one that wants the best for others. That is that extension that God has given mothers, those abilities to see and to minister. Now, am I talking about someone who wants to try to hurt the Cubs? I'm not talking about the baseball team either. Everybody knows what a mama bear is, amen? You threaten or you endanger a mama bear's cubs? Oh, have no fury like a mother protecting her cubs. She is fiercely protective of her people. She wants the best for others. She is a person that is outwardly focused. Think about my grandmother's house. It's been so many years ago. But I always remember when I walked in the kitchen, she always had a pot of soup on. My grandmother made some of the best vegetable soup. Literally, it is unmatched. But that is that ministering spirit she had. My grandmother never ate until everyone else had finished eating, and then you'd see her in the kitchen eating by herself. Had that ministering spirit. That's that thing that... Me? Listen, y'all, I got to eat. My blood sugar's going to drop, and I'll be a train wreck. Amen? Guys, y'all stop acting pious and humble this morning. God's given women that ability to want to minister to others. Anybody ever watch their mom go through the line first at home? If it's connected with those of you who've experienced trauma, I would say yes. I don't know if I've ever seen a mother go first, even when asked to. What are they always doing? Putting the needs of others over themselves. Literally, it's the picture of an act of ministry to the ministry that God has blessed them with. What a picture, amen? What a blessing. What a gift. Now I got a question. Have you thanked your mother for this act of ministry that she has demonstrated to you, whether you have overtly seen it or not? How many times has your mother seen a need in your life, or you in casual mentioned a need only for a short time later for that need to show up? Moms have a gift. If it's not in my calendar or you don't tell me, and you can tell me, and it's probably still going to be forgotten unless you text me or write it down. Women have a gift. They have a gift. How many of you today have thanked your mother? And if your mom's gone home to be with Jesus, how many today are rejoicing that all of the labor doing what they've done has finished that race and they're in the presence of the Lord, and you can today reflect and be thankful, though, for the gift in your mother? How many of you who still have a mom, though, have not thanked your mother for these things I'm talking about today? I would encourage you to do something. Don't you wait, because you may not have tomorrow. You sit her down in all sincerity and seriousness. Sit back today and reflect on all of the things that your mother, maybe you didn't recognize until this morning in this message. Maybe you didn't realize, wow, mom never did go. I didn't even think about that. You know, I didn't realize, yeah, mom would, wow, I never even thought of that. How did she know? Mom's tuned in to the needs of the ones that God's given and placed in her life. You need to thank her for it. Is mom sitting back right now waiting for that thanks? No. How many mothers in here can you remember that have never been thanked? How many moms in here would not have ever expected to be thanked? They didn't do it so that someone would thank them. They did it because the heart, the love, the compassion that God literally has ingrained in them, and the demonstration of selfless sacrifice that Jesus and salvation shows to us, they are demonstrating to the family that God's given them. You know, if you have a godly mother this morning, do you know what a blessing you have? If you have a mother like I have, my mother loves Jesus passionately and has for every bit of my life that I have breathed the breath. I never know, the only thing I ever remember is about a month or two when it was so young that I wasn't even walking, and I don't even think I was out of the crib yet. My mother used to watch, if I remember, it was Days of Our Lives, and I can hear the little jingle. Well, God convicted her right after I was born. So that tells me that it was not long, and I might even remember as an infant hearing that, because I can still hear the jingle in my mind, because she watched it long enough that jingle implanted my mind, and I've never watched those things anyways. But God convicted my mother, but after that, I never remembered my mother watching or listening to anything that was not God-honoring or glorifying. I've never, ever seen my mother sit in front of a TV and watch anything unless it was the Gaithers' homecoming. And she'll blow it up. She'll blow your speakers out in your house if you invite her over there. I have no responsibility in the speakers of your home or your vehicle if you allow my mother to get in the car. She's stone deaf, and she will turn it up because she loves praise and worship, and she'll blow every speaker you have out, but she'll do it all the glory of God. Amen? Anything in word or deed, do it all the glory of God. My mother's worship is in, needless to say, at 10-plus volume. I shared with you, some of you hadn't been here, so I'll say, one time my mom was a nurse. She would go in the morning when we'd go to school, and she'd go to work, and she'd start her car. Well, she had a little 1984 or 6 Ford Escort. I can still see the car right now. It was tan. She went out to start the car one morning about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was dark. It was in Charlotte. It was during the winter. And she goes out to start the car, and then she goes out and comes in and says, "Honey, I can't. The car's gone." I was thinking, well, we're all, you know, we get very panicked because, oh, somebody stole our car. No. It was in the creek. It rolled down the hill, and it went face first in the creek, and it was at about that angle. You know how we found the car, right? Because the front of it was in the embankment, so the lights were not seen anymore. Praise and worship at full volume. You could hear it, and that's how we found the car. Christ for the Nations was a praise and worship thing. They bought these Christ for the Nation praise songs, and it was at full volume down there in the creek. But that was what my mother did every day. I have that demonstration of a godly mother, and you may not have that. And if you do not have that, my heart breaks for you. But guess what, moms? You can be that for your children now, no matter how old they are. Your children may be grown now, and you go, you know, I wish I could go back and make that solid demonstration of a mom that was caught reading her Bible or in prayer. You can start that today. It's going to impact your children, even if it doesn't start until today, no matter how old they are. It will make a difference in their lives. The same way, moms, you can do, and guys, and also the same I say to you, praying for the future spouses of your children who are still in diapers. I don't care if your children are 20 years old. You can still pray for their future spouses, even if it only starts today. What a great gift you can give to those future spouses to say that I've been praying for you at their wedding day your entire life. What a gift. I was able to say that to John's wife when they got married this year. What an awesome gift to say to them, hey, I didn't know who you were, but I finally know who I've been praying for my entire life. Moms, you have an incredible ability to be a sacrificial worshiper, a sacrificial prayer warrior on behalf of your family. You're able to do, if you've not seen the, prayer, the one about prayer in the prayer closet. War Room, watch it. Be a warrior like that. Be a prayer warrior. Get yourself a prayer room and go to battle for your family. Guys, you do it too. But hey, moms, you have a great effect in so many places and instances. The mom, in a sense, is carrying the spiritual weight of the family. You bear that with grace, mercy, dignity, and remember something. Don't forget this. Beauty is fleeting, but a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. I heard that spoken as we went in to Gwen Lane's funeral. Brother Charles's daughter went into the funeral home, and Kevin and Lindsay, the kids, they went in to see mom, and I just kind of, they wanted me to go with them, so I stood there, and I'll never forget. They went up there, and it was very emotional because it was, you know, it was really years before she should have gone home to be with the Lord in our perspective. And I'll never forget, there was the ability right then to go, why? And to get angry at God, and I'll never forget, Kevin started repeating verses, and then Lindsay would say a verse, and then he'd say the next one, and they continue to just throw scripture after scripture, taking what the enemy wanted to use captive for God's glory, not allow the enemy in any sense to have any dominion. In no way what they did is took captive those thoughts, every thought captive to the will of Christ. And I was, by that time, I was like a three-year-old child. I was weeping because it was so profound to hear and watch Satan be cast out of an arena where so often he's invited into, to be angry at God. And why would you allow this, and how could you? He was excused by the power of King Jesus, the righteousness of Christ, the salvation of Christ. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Amen? So moms, you have the ability to demonstrate that even if dad's not doing it. Dad may have passed away, whatever the situation and circumstances, there's so many different ones we could confront in here. But if your husband won't lead spiritually, you take the banner and the mantle of Christ and you just get on your face before God and let God lead you. He is faithful. And he'll do what Ephesians 3:20 says, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. See, that's power. That's dominion. That's authority. And that is addressing the things that matter, the things of the heart. The things of the heart are the things of eternity. They're the things of the soul. Those are things that are consequential. They are in no way inconsequential or small. So thank God for that godly mother, if you have her today. And if you don't have her, pray that God would raise you up to be a demonstration of that solid rock spiritually. Man, I love that song. You guys know that. It's fitting that it was sung this morning. Mom, you can be that spiritual rock in the family. You and your husband, your family together can be a spiritual rock that transcends the halls and echoes through eternity as a picture, as a lighthouse, as a beacon of hope to the lost, broken, and dying world. But it happens not on accident. It happens when you wake up every day and choose you this day whom you will serve. It has to happen every single day. And taking those thoughts captive, it happens every hour and sometimes minute by minute. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. What that means is, Keith Green's song, make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son you sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. And I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me. I want to share the love that set me free. Let your life be a prayer. What do I pray about? Pray about everything. Pray about everything. What happens when I can't put words to it? That's okay. Scripture addresses it. The Holy Spirit will intercede with groans that cannot be understood. You will literally sometimes be speechless, wordless. You will have nothing to utter. You don't even know what to utter, but weeping before the presence of God. That's all you need to do, because God knows what's going on in the heart. And he's faithful. He's never let me down. He never will. He's never let you down, and he never will. Though sometimes things don't add up and make sense in the context of what we think should happen, it does not change the truth that everything has worked out for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Then verses 16 through 18, move on. So Ruth replied, do not persuade me to leave you or to go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die and there I will be buried. May God punish me and do so severely if anything but death separate you and me. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to persuade her. Leads to the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning. It is this: a mother to model trusts God's plan. Naomi realized that Ruth was not going to stop, so she resigned herself. Okay. Have it your way, in a sense. See, godly mothers don't always understand. They're not always able to see past the fog of life, the struggles and the battles. And I actually think it's better when we can't. The reason is because we're fixers, all of us, and women by nature. Amen? Mom wants to fix it. Mom wants to make everything better. Amen? Ladies, if you're not a fixer, woe on your family. When there's a cut knee, does mom go, I don't know, get over it, fix it? No, mom goes and gets the first aid kit, gets the, when I was young, the methylate. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, they outlawed that stuff. If you know what I'm talking about, you were laughing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't even understand what stinging is. Methylate was something straight from you know where, and it wasn't good. That stuff absolutely burned terribly. That's why everybody wants their leg blown on and the stuff doesn't burn anymore. We're still conditioned to believe that everything's going to hurt like that. So thank the Lord if you didn't grow up in the age of methylate. But mom wants to make it better. Mom wants to fix it. Why? Because God's gifted the heart of a mom to have, in a sense, the heart of a nurse, right? She's the heart of a broker, right? Going to the store and trying to find the best deal to be faithful with the resources that God's given the family. She's the counterbalance for us. Testosterone, right? We want to go out with some harebrained idea and change the world in 2 seconds, and the wife will go, hey, let's sit down and talk about this a little bit. You have to have that balance. Everybody needs that balance. Be thankful for that person that's willing to sit down, and even at the times when maybe we get a little more bullheaded than we should and we say, we're going to go that direction. God wants me to lead. I'm going to lead. It's enough. And that loving wife says, all right. And we go out, what? And we run into a tree at 100 miles an hour, proverbially, with our finances and whatever we did. And that wife doesn't go, told you so. If you have one that does, Lord have mercy on you. She could say that, right? Because she had warned us against it. But no, that godly wife recognizes that God's placed a man in that ultimate leadership position, and there can't be two leaders, and she'll share her opinion, and then she steps back. And sometimes when things don't work out, God uses that loving encouragement from our wives to say, well, you should have listened. You should have sat back and assessed the balance in a sense. See, that mom trusts that God's plan, that God's faithful. And even in the heart of that husband sometimes, I know so many godly women who maybe came to Christ after they got married, and you had this rebel that she was married to that was lost is lost. And how many times did that mom get out on her face before God and weep and cry to the Lord, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with this reprobate. And that loving, patient resting in God's purpose and plan, praying, weeping before God for his heart, his soul, his passions. I know my mom did that for me. My wife came to Christ after me, but I know my wife, my mom prayed for me for 29 years. I know that for a fact. Prayed for 29 years. See, God was faithful, and he is faithful. And I want to encourage you moms this morning, maybe that are still on your knees, praying for that son or daughter that might not be 29, they might be 39 or 49 or 59 or whatever it might be. Don't give up. God is faithful. And you know you're praying in accordance with God's plan, because what his scripture says, his desire is that none should perish. So stand firm in those prayers. Pray them with passion. Pray with authority. In the name of Jesus, take captive his heart. Maybe you're here with a lost wife. Pray that God would take captive my wife's heart. Take the blinders off her. We know what scripture says, no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit enables or draws. So God, give them the revelation, help them understand their need for you, God, so that they don't get caught in religion, God, that they might know what a relationship with Jesus Christ is, because that is what transforms lives. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's walking with him. It's having the God of creation as not just your Savior, he's your Lord. Does God lord over you today? It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. God is able to lord. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do, but he does. And he's faithful today. Are you resting in that? Are you resting in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him in the promise he will direct your paths. Are you trusting in his faithful guidance, his faithful leading? Are you in his word today? Because if you're not in his word and you don't trust him, there's no way in the world that you can trust his plan. Maybe you're saying, you know, I want to trust him. Get on your face before God today and in true sincerity, place your faith and trust in him. God, this is so contradictory to everything I'm battling right now, but Lord, I want to walk with you like that. I want to know you like that. I want to be the mom that you created me to be. I want to have that faith, that childlike faith to demonstrate to my children, God, but the chasm between where I'm at and where I need to be is so vast. God, do whatever you have to do today to make me what you need, you've created, and desire me this very moment to be. See, that's a prayer when prayed in sincerity. You're praying accordance to God's plan and his will. Because God does not desire us to live in apathy, does it? No. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of that apathy, indifference, unsecure, did not care for the poor, so I did away with Sodom and his sister. God's desire is for us to be engaged, standing on the battle lines, the front line. God does not desire his children to be lukewarm, does he? We know, no, you're neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm, so I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God doesn't desire you to sit in here and warm a pew today. We know that from the church at Ephesus. They were doing things, but what had happened? Their hearts were so far away. You can be in here and do things that would, in a sense, transform the world, but if your heart is not a heart that loves the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, what are you doing? You're living religion. Religion, Scripture says, is worthless. And don't think we can't do it. We are really good. We're idol makers. Our hearts are. Whether it's even our righteousness, right? So Paul says, what our righteousness is filthy rags. The works you do, if they're not done, why? The works that he's prepared for us in advance, they're just works. They gain us nothing. But when we live out and we are acting in God's creative plan and purpose as he, in his word and through prayer, directs us and leads us, we are accomplishing his purpose for our life. We are serving, we are a manifestation, the hands and feet of Christ. And that's what I desire to be. Mom, I know that's what you want to be. Maybe this morning you feel like you're failing. I want you to know today, if you're doing what God's created you to do, you're not failing. You're not a failure. You're not wasting your time this morning, as the world thinks now that having children is such a waste of potential. You're not. As a matter of fact, you're doing what Scripture says. Increase and multiply. But also what you're able to do is raise up another generation to pass the torch, the mantle, the banner. You can impress on their hearts and be a part of impressing Jehovah Nissi, the banner. Jehovah Jireh, the provider. You can demonstrate that in the home by the way that you live. You can demonstrate Jehovah Rapha and the principle of resting in the healer. God is the God. He heals. He's his. Jehovah Jireh, he provides. Mom, you can demonstrate your faith in the presenting of how you rest in that and how you live that out, and your children see that plainly. I know that from my own personal experience. And you can run the race to completion. Finish the work that God has for you. Mom, thank you. And I mean that. Thank you for all you're doing, all you're sacrificing. Thank you for being an extension of the hands and feet of Christ in your homes. Stand firm, Mom. Don't allow the compromise to undo. Don't allow the compromise to take root and try to undermine your walk with him and in some way affect and effect your children. Stand firm, moms. Stand firm with the full armor of God. And it can only happen when you get in his word and you stay in his word and continually stay desperate for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Stand firm, moms. Dads, you too, but this is Mother's Day. Remember, a mother to model is not self-serving. She is selfless. She gives up herself for the family that God's blessed, recognizing that that family is a gift from God. And again, number two, a mother to model wants the best for others. She is always, again, externally focused, externally fixated on the ministry, the mission that God has her in. And then finally, again, the mother to model trusts God's plan. I want you to know how appreciated you are, even today, if you're in a home where maybe you don't feel appreciated. I would hope to believe that you're not in a home where people don't appreciate you, but let's just say in the home you don't feel appreciated. I want you to know this morning, I appreciate you. And I know God appreciates you because we created you, and he loves you with a love that I can't begin to understand. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all you do for God's kingdom, whether seen or unseen. Know that what matters is the one that sees it is the one that matters, and that's God. You just keep living it out. You just keep resting in him, trusting in him, and hoping in him. And I promise you, you will have a peace that surpasses, transcends all understanding, that'll guard your heart in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that you have one of the most important jobs on the planet, and I mean that. I mean that again because, as I talked about, our children, when they're born, that initial part of reflecting Jesus and showing Jesus to them is vital in their lives. We've studied that in school about how the first few months and weeks of a child's life, really that first year, is vital to their entire life. If a child isn't loved within the first year and then they get put in a good home at the second year, and the rest of their lives, they have a really good, steady, solid home. Ready? And then you have another child that for the first 12 months of their life, they were in a solid home where they were loved, cared about, and shown everything that that child needs. And then after that, they were taken and put in a really wretched home. You know that one that had the first year in a good home does better than the one that first year had a really bad year? It's pretty deep, isn't it? Tells how important a family unit is, moms. Shows how important you are to the kingdom. You're doing kingdom work. You ever thought of it that way? You're on a mission field. Ministering to what? The least of these. Scripture says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. You ever looked at that child when they're being an absolute true reflection of anything other than Christ? And you just want to pull all of the remaining hair out? You ever thought about, I'm on a mission field ministering to Christ, his creation, a picture of his handiwork. Mom, I thank God for you. I love you. I hope you know you're special. Stand firm. Stand up. And allow the glory of Christ Jesus to reign in your hearts, in your lives. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. Stay desperate for him. Live every day like it's your last day, because you'll run with the greatest of perseverance, the greatest of strength. And moms, I promise you, a whole lot quicker than you think, this battle of motherhood, well, and you'll always be a mother, but this more intense period as we're raising children will be over, and then you'll be able to sit back and watch the beauty of God finishing and molding and working in your children's hearts and lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.